as we consider the acts of God and the lives of his followers. Right? As we read this book of Acts, right? That's where we're reading in the scripture, the book of Acts in any Bible. We need to ask ourselves, what model does the Bible provide for ministry? So what do you know about ministry that you know from the Bible? You may know about what churches do. You may know about how the place works. You can feel it out if you come to a place long enough, right? So what model does the Bible provide for ministry? And last week in chapter 18, we discussed how Paul models trust in God. Do you remember that point from a sermon last week? If you don't, if it doesn't come to you, you can always check little podcasts that are available online. Paul models trust in God, and he entrusts the ministry to people who trust God. Is that true? What have you learned about Priscilla and Aquila from the scripture? Stop, do a little inventory. What do you know? All right? Not much more than you know about Sosthenes or Lydia or Silas. Those are names in the Bible. They're names of people that we've talked about. We don't always get a ton of backstory about people. We know a little bit more about Priscilla and Aquila. We talked about it last week. We talked about it the week before. So you can know that from what comes early in chapter 18 of the book of Acts. We don't even know that much about Timothy or about Barnabas, right? The guy who put his arm around Paul. Timothy, the person who Paul put his arm around and showed the rope, so to speak. In fact, we really don't know that much about Paul as far as where he's from, right? The Holy Spirit tells us Tarsus, Paul of Tarsus, but nothing about Tarsus, right? We don't really know about what he used to do, although last week we were informed that his trade was tent making, right? Not a lot of information about Paul narratively. We don't know his family. We don't know his age. We don't know a lot. But if you reflect on your lifetime of Bible reading, you actually know a lot about Paul, don't you? I mean, Paul is like this character who looms big on the horizon. You read books and they have titles of places and people's names, but they're letters written by Paul too. Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonica, the Philippians, the Colossians. We actually know a lot about Paul, but the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about, you know, who he is. It tells us more about what he has done since he's become a Christian. I find that interesting. Since God saved Paul by revealing himself to Paul, right? We know what Paul did through the biblical witness. And you read about his life and the things that he said. We learn about Paul because of his actions. That's why we know about Paul. So what has your life been like since God revealed himself to you? Now, not everybody is called to be a Paul, perhaps. But everybody is called to follow Jesus. Everybody is called to be led by the Holy Spirit of God who leads you to what your day will contain as you live it. Are you led by the Holy Spirit of God? Can you reflect on your life and say, Jesus is my Lord. What does Lord mean? It means your boss. Do you do what your boss says? How do you know what your boss says? How do you receive the instructions from your boss about what you do in life? Now, we all work jobs or have work jobs or hope to work jobs. Right? And if there will be someone who provides the employment, we'll take direction and we'll do what we're told and we want to be faithful servants and we'll, for a job that you have, would expect a paycheck, right? The deal with God and people who follow God is completely backwards, the other way around. God is giving, already giving. And people, out of the wealth of what they have, distribute what they've been given and use it, and share it, right? It's completely different. You're not asked to do something with resources you don't have. You are fully provided for, and then go and work it out. It's alongside of how we live in this world. Isn't that a strange thing? It's almost as if there's two legs, and one is trying to, you know, pay the mortgage, and the other is trying to bear witness to my Lord, my boss, my Savior, Jesus, and how I live in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're of this world, right? So there's a lot going on here, and I ask, you know, what has your life been like since God revealed himself to you? Not to make you feel guilty that you don't do enough, but to make you reflect on your walk with the Lord. This is the reason for the scripture, for the sermon. Since you became a servant and friend of the Most High God, what has that adventure looked like? And you say, oh, brother, let me tell you what it looked like. Sometimes I, you know, what was I getting myself into? Right? I've heard that from Christians. I wouldn't find that I would look at a Christian who said that and say, now, that's the bad attitude. I would say, you ain't kidding me. The number of, if God told me everything that was coming before I went, would I have gone? You know? It's not because he's wrong. It's not maybe even because I'm bad. It's because it's daunting. Are you overwhelmed by life yet? It is a God-sized task to be a Christian living a life in the world. And if you are living a life in the world without God, a God-sized task is not achievable. It's a God-sized task to live in the world as a Christian. And if you are trying to live the Christian life without God, that's daunting. Mercy. Mercy, Lord, that's too big. How much am I supposed to put up with God? It's so big. Almighty God, help me now. I'm going in. Cover me. Right? That's what's going on in this life. Our story is different because we follow Jesus. What would you say is the source of your ministry in this life? Your eyes reflect up if you're thinking about something you know. Your eyes reflect down if you're trying to quickly invent something to answer the question. That's what detectives who interview people say. I don't know if it's true. Have you learned about how God works? Have you learned about God and how God works? Does God work? Does it work? Does this stuff work? You know, in church, you kind of like, I guess that's the answer. You know, I want to raise my hand and say, no, it doesn't. And then everybody's going to look at you like, are you in the right place? Right? Does God work, though? I find that I personally am afflicted with my own unbelief. Strange thing for a minister to have to say. He should be the pro. He should have it all together. But I think as a Christian and as a human being, it's important to be transparent in this regard. There's a man that came to Jesus. He said, heal my daughter if you can. If I can, says Jesus. And the man says, I know you can. I believe you. Help my unbelief. And I will not say I'm better than that man. Even though I'm up at the front and I got a Bible open, I believe this stuff. But some days, I think, oh, for crying out loud. You know? I had some relative in my life who say, for the love of Pete. And I think it was because my family's Catholic and they were thinking of Peter. And they were like, for the love of Pete, you know? I mean, could you just have mercy on all these people? Because Catholics think Pete is, you know, the first pope and all the Catholics ever since. They're looking toward a guy in a chair, you know, because he knows God better than you. I don't subscribe to that anymore. But I do sit here and I go, you know, this is sometimes is hard. Why doesn't anybody get... I need cuddles, you know? And everybody goes, oh, yeah, you're a little bit needy. Could you be more professional, more managerial? And could you just inspire us like you're supposed to? And then if you look competent, I think more of us will follow you. The management model of church prevails in the world. How have you learned about God and how God works, if he does work? And how have you been trained about the way of God?